在线英语听力室 tinroom.com 欢迎您。
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Officials in India say they believe just 10 gunmen managed to carry out the siege of Mumbai, a city of 18 million people, a showdown that left nearly 200 people dead, including at least 5 Americans. Investigators are trying to determine how that was possible. At the huge Taj Mahal Hotel, site of the final clash between the gunmen and security forces, workers have been boarding up windows and troops are going through the building to make sure it's safe. The BBC's Adam Minot reports families have also begun burying the dead.
As is the custom here, there have been a number of funerals today, including funerals of senior officers who were killed during the early hours of the battle. This has taken an enormous death toll here, particularly of Indians. It's mainly Indians who've been killed in this. There, a number of foreigners also died. So as I say, there is a palpable sense of shock through this city, and indeed the whole of India.
The BBC's Adam Minot reporting from Mumbai. The deadly attacks there have raised the level of tension between India and Pakistan, despite the Pakistani government's denial of any involvement with the militants. Alistair Miller of the Center on Global Counterterrorism says the Bush administration is hoping to defuse that tension.
This is a very rapidly unfolding story. It is impossible to point the finger at either, and I think that's why President Bush is being very cautious by just supporting India and not, in fact, pointing any blame at anyone.
A team of FBI agents is en route to India to assist in the investigation of the attacks. In the Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, a United Nations special envoy met with President Joseph Kabila and a rebel leader who wants direct talks with Kabila. Rebel fighting in the region is fueling a humanitarian crisis, as NPR's Gwen Tompkins reports.
Look who's not talking. For the second time in a month, former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo has come to Congo and met separately with the Congolese president and the rebel leader, Laurent Nkunda. And though Nkunda has pressed for direct talks with the government, President Joseph Kabila is not so eager. Since August, Nkunda's rebel army has widened its sphere of influence in eastern Congo, and the general wants a role in government, among other demands. The rebels say they are no longer attacking government forces, but in recent days, they have routed militia groups north of Goma. All parties to the conflict are believed to have committed gross human rights abuses. More than 10,000 people have reportedly fled this latest advance and are now seeking safety in Uganda. Gwen Tompkins, NPR News, Goma.
A grenade blast has wounded at least 33 anti-government protesters who have been occupying the Prime Minister of Thailand's compound in Bangkok. The attack came as the occupation of the city's two airports by demonstrators entered its fifth day. Protesters accused the country's Prime Minister of being a puppet of his brother-in-law, who was ousted in a coup 2 years ago. This is NPR News from Washington. More than 200 people have been killed in central Nigeria in clashes between Muslim and Christian gangs. The army has deployed troops in the city of Jos to enforce a round-the-clock curfew. The violence began when supporters of the area's two main political parties bickered after recent local elections. Jørn Utzon, one of the most prominent architects of the 20th century, has died at his home in Copenhagen. He was 90 years old. Frank Browning has more.
Best known for the grand wave-like scallops of the Seaside Opera House in Sydney, Australia, Utzon was an austere and strict figure in modern architecture who always insisted on the relation of the physical site to the buildings he designed. In fact, Utzon withdrew from the finishing touches of the Sydney Opera House over aesthetic disagreements with the builders and the city. Most of the rest of his work was for smaller, elegant projects in his native Denmark or in Scandinavia, where he was influenced by the sculptural designs of Finnish architect Alvar Aalto, as well as the American Frank Lloyd Wright. 5 years ago, he was awarded the Pritzker Prize, the so-called Nobel of Architecture, for his lifelong oeuvre. For NPR News, I'm Frank Browning.
An early readout on the first day of the holiday shopping season indicates that sales were up 3% yesterday compared to the same day last year. The figures were compiled by the research firm ShopperTrack, whose co-founder Bill Martin says they were better than expected.
It was beyond most economists' expectations. It was beyond what we had anticipated as well.
Martin says shoppers responded to deep discounts as they searched for the best value for their dollars. Some analysts caution that one day's sales figures, though, do not necessarily indicate a trend for the whole holiday season. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.